This is the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. In today's program, girls and boys are missing out on education, the UN deputy chief warns. An Al Jazeera ultimatum is a draconian step of censorship, says rights expert. But first, a bulletin of news from Deanne Penn.
Unless the world scales up efforts to reduce child mortality by 2030, almost 70 million children will die before celebrating their fifth birthday. The warning comes in a new report from the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, launched on Wednesday, which says investments in the survival of the world's most deprived children saves more lives per dollar spent. UNICEF said even though reaching poor children and communities is more expensive per capita, investing in them provides more value for money. All parties to talks on Cyprus should seize an historic opportunity to reach an agreement, UN Chief Antonio Guterres said on Wednesday. The message, delivered in Switzerland by the head of the UN Department of Political Affairs, came as negotiations resumed over the divided island. Daniel Johnson reports.
After an opening morning of talks in Crans-Montana, UN Under-Secretary General for Political Affairs Jeffrey Feltman said that Antonio Guterres wanted all those involved to take this historic opportunity to solve a problem that has been there for decades. He told journalists that the initial meeting had given reason for hope.
What we heard this morning gave us the hope and the conviction that the leaders and the three guarantors have come to this conference with the determination to overcome the challenges and resolve the issues.
Taking part in the UN-led conference are Greek Cypriot leader Nikos Anastasiades and his Turkish Cypriot counterpart Mustafa Akinci, along with guarantors Greece, Turkey and the UK. The European Union is also present. Reaching a deal with so many actors will not be easy, but Special Advisor of the Secretary-General on Cyprus, Espen Barth Eder, said he was prepared for the long haul. The UN negotiator also spoke of a constructive and good start to the first day of meetings, and he said that the critical issues of security and guarantees had been tackled. These would be followed by discussions on other matters that were make or break for all parties to the talks, he added. These include power sharing, territory and property, areas that Mr. Ada said those participating in the talks had decided to leave until now to tie up. Daniel Johnson, United Nations, Geneva.
Moving now to Berlin, where the head of the International Labour Organization, the ILO, has urged countries to find new ways to improve the lives and working conditions of migrant workers. Guy Ryder was speaking at the Global Forum on Migration and Development, a three-day meeting which began on Wednesday. He said nearly 75% of all migrants of working age, or around 150 million people, are in the labor force and searching for decent work. The ILO chief stressed the importance of taking action that makes a real difference in the lives of migrants. He told the forum, "If we are to foster the benefits of these movements for all concerned, our policy choices matter greatly." The laydown of weapons by the Colombian rebel group FARC has been hailed by the UN Secretary General as another historic milestone in the country's peace process. Inspectors from the UN mission in Colombia locked containers packed with guns during a ceremony held on Tuesday. Overall, more than 7,000 weapons have been turned over. In a statement issued by his spokesperson, UN Chief Antonio Guterres said he was pleased that the organization has been able to support the implementation of the ceasefire and the laying down of arms agreements. Mr. Guterres also underlined the UN's continued support for the peace process. The Colombian government and FARC signed a peace deal in November, ending five decades of conflict. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
Around the world, some 61 million children of primary school age go without an education, and 35% of them live in 32 countries affected by conflict, according to UN estimates. Girls remain 1.5 times more likely than boys to be excluded from primary school. In addition, millions of children do not have basic reading, writing, and math by the time they reach 4 years of age, and the quality of education is a major concern. During Wednesday's UN high-level SDG action event on education, experts discussed how to advance Sustainable Development Goal 4, which seeks to advance the realization of the fundamental human right to education and its implementation. For UN Deputy Secretary General Amina Mohammed, the world has missed the mark. We have to address education for all, she stressed.
From Dakar to New York, we've missed the opportunity of putting children at the center of what is a right. We've missed so many girls, but we've also missed the boys, and that education has to happen for two. So if we want to create the opportunity for young people to grow and to lead their countries, then education is key to that.
The type of education is also important, Ms. Mohammed said. Saul Mwami of Tanzania was the first of six youth speakers to address the high-level event. He's also the founder of a nonprofit organization, Building Africa's Future Foundation. His parents have never been to school, but they sent him and his sister to school, inspiring him and showing him the importance of education. Women play a big role in developing their communities, which is why Saul believes girls should get an education.
Because if the girls get educated, therefore we'll get educated women in the future. So educated women will yield to educated children because they will be knowing the importance of education. So they will play a great role in making sure that their children get access to quality education.
SDG 4 also argues that giving girls the same education as boys is critical in achieving gender equality, reducing child mortality, delaying marriage, and generating female leaders, amongst other factors that contribute to societal progress. An alleged call to Qatar to close down a major broadcaster in exchange for the lifting of sanctions would be a draconian form of extraterritorial censorship, a senior UN-appointed rights investigator has said. David Kaye, who's the special rapporteur on freedom of opinion and expression, made the comments after it was reported that the demand to shut Al Jazeera was among a list of requirements issued to Qatar by other Gulf states and Egypt. Such a move would be a serious threat to media freedom, he told Daniel Johnson.
Well, it strikes me that when states, as a matter of diplomatic coercion, make a demand that another state bring down a media outlet, it's a form of extraterritorial censorship. To me, there's no question about that, and that was my reaction when I first heard about this demand.
And what do you know of this demand? It's one of a reported 13 demands issued to Qatar by other governments to close it down so that they can lift their economic blockade.
I mean, honestly, we've seen the reports and we understand that Qatar has confirmed that it's received this demand. I'm not familiar with each of the 13 demands, but it has been confirmed that this demand to shut down Al Jazeera is one of the 13.
And what are you expecting the international community to do about it?
I think, you know, in a case like this, particularly when it involves diplomatic demands, it also requires diplomatic responses from other states, because this is really quite a draconian step. You know, facing demands of filtering content online, for example, of bringing down particular web pages, maybe not entire news organizations. I think that states should see this kind of demand as a threat to all states and to the freedom of information. If I could put it into legal terms for just a moment, all states are committed under human rights law to protect the right of all individuals to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas of all kinds. And it's specifically regardless of frontiers. That language, regardless of frontiers, is in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. And I think this kind of cross-border attempt at censorship is a real threat.
And it sort of ties in with what you've been saying in your latest report to the Human Rights Council, where you indicate that threats to net neutrality and digital expression and internet freedoms are greater than ever. And you call on private companies to resist this and to resist self-censorship. This falls within the same sort of remit.
My latest two reports actually deal with this issue of attempts to bring down media outlets and websites and web pages worldwide. And this strikes me as a part of that, although it's one of the most egregious that I've seen in a while.
You've been listening to today's news and features program from the United Nations in New York. I'm Jocelyn Sambira. Thanks for listening.